Welcome back. This is Mark from the Wayback Group, and this is podcast 3 in the mini series on Spiritual Life Explained. Part 3, Health and Healing. As before, if you've not already listened to part 1 and 2, then it might be really helpful to listen to them first. In part 2, we explored free will and we learned that all choices are either bringing us closer to God or moving us in the wrong direction, further from God. This is the same whether a person believes in God or not, since God's love and support is present for all of humanity. Now, if we're going in the wrong direction, then the guidance actually becomes easier to notice. However, some people may be surprised to learn that guidance that we are going in the wrong direction in life often manifests in the form of dis-ease, injury, or accident. Ever had a bad thought and then walked into a door or bashed your toe on the furniture? Been thinking negatively about some worry and then you get stomach ache? Or criticizing yourself and then you've got a headache? That's how it works. There's a lot more to it. And rather than go into it here, I'll simply say that there are some very good books on how you can heal your life, and they explain this in a lot more detail. Not everything in those books matches what I and others have found from our direct experience, but they're definitely pointing in the right direction and a great starting point for you if you're new to all this. Whether you are new or experienced though, I wouldn't worry too much about the minute details, because it's not about what any book says. Your higher self isn't reading a book and saying, "Uh-oh, we're thinking bad about ourselves. Let me see, page 27. Ah, I have to give them a migraine." No, it's much more along the lines of your body speaks your truth based on your understanding. It has to be this way because you are meant to make sense of the feedback your body is giving you. So the key word here is feedback. If you're going in the wrong direction, meaning you're not listening to God and your higher self, then it usually means that you're listening to your brain or your ego. The ego is firmly grounded in your physical identity. And so since you are now giving way too much attention to your physical body, you manifest the message that you're going in the wrong direction in your physical body. The message is placed where you are looking. It's actually poetically simple and gracefully elegant. Is it perhaps just that we are so used to thinking that the physical realm is real that we compartmentalize and so think that physical problems must have a physical cause and a physical solution, rather than considering that perhaps this dis-ease is a result of how I am thinking? But, and this is important, not all disease is feedback. There are bad people in the world, and no, you couldn't tell from looking at them or even how they act. Often they are very charismatic and are seen to be doing good in the world. Bad, good, these are not about appearances. It's about what is in someone's heart, or rather, in some cases, what is lacking from their heart. This is one reason why we teach about the six virtues and how we should strive to be non-judgmental of all people, since how you act and think should be a reflection of what is in your heart rather than what you think is in the heart of the person in front of you. Now, in reality, the majority of people could be considered neutral, neither particularly good nor particularly bad. And for them, they will lean one way or the other depending on their environmental influences. Your goodness can uplift them. But if you're spending a lot of time with what we would call the bad people, then they may be affecting your energy and well-being, draining you, psychically or telepathically injuring you with their negative emotions or thoughts. Most of these bad people aren't even consciously aware of doing it, but there are those few in the extreme who know what they are doing, and we could refer to it as black magic or the dark arts. This is when bad people deliberately intend negativity towards others. This all may seem like the stuff of fantasy and movies, but I've worked with people from around the world, and what I found is that this is really happening. It's just that some cultures are more open about it than others, and in the West, this stuff isn't generally discussed. Now, it's not my intention to spook you, but rather to demystify these taboo subjects so that you can make choices that support your holistic wellness. Knowing that this is going on means we can fine-tune our awareness and take appropriate action. So understanding that there are what we could refer to as toxic people and that interacting with them can cause illness and misfortune, then it's handy to know that such illness can be healed because it doesn't belong to you. But it wouldn't be so much about healing as cleansing you of the negativity from these other people. Your own level of positivity and good intention can help, as can prayer. But here's the kicker that a lot of people might struggle to accept. If you are in the presence of these toxic people, whether that's socially, relationships, or career related, or in fact in any aspect of life, then your aura has already picked up on their negativity, and your higher self would have already been telling you to get away from them. So at some level, you already know, but you just haven't listened yet. Have you spotted the pattern? Whether we're ignoring God's guidance or our higher selves and are therefore manifesting our own disease, or we're ignoring our higher selves' guidance to avoid toxic people and therefore becoming diseased by the negativity in toxic situations, the outcome is the same, disease. The cause is also the same. We don't listen. But it's never too late to become receptive to our higher selves or God. But does it get harder the longer we've been ignoring them? Hold on to that question. But for now, I hope you've realized why it is that some people just don't respond to healing. It's because the cause of their disease is the fact that they're not listening to their higher selves, and so they can't be healed as they've not learned the lesson they need to learn in order to evolve, or they've not realize that they need to leave a toxic situation to stop being injured by other people. All the time there is friction between the higher self and the lower self, then there is dis-ease. If the same problem keeps popping up, then something has not changed. So even if they do heal, it will be temporary, and the problem will reappear when they make that wrong choice again, often coming back even worse. First it was a sore throat. The next time they lost their voice. Then it's something far more life-threatening. Right at the start in part one, I said, I chose to learn from the experiences, and importantly, to take responsibility for allowing myself to have been misled. The key thing here is for each of us to take personal responsibility. God has not let you down. God has not abandoned you. Your higher self has not let you down. Your higher self has not abandoned you. You are not being punished. You are simply not being receptive because you think you know best. You're putting your brain, your habits, and ego in charge and ending up getting it wrong. We've all done this. Some people get it right some of the time, others get it wrong most of the time. So be kind to yourself. Avoid that negative trap of self-pity or criticism. After all, you've been guided to this podcast so you can do something about it. On some level, you're winning already, so let's keep up the positive momentum. God's rooting for you. Your higher self is rooting for you. Even I'm rooting for you. So get on board the you're amazing and you deserve positivity train. If you've understood that disease is simply feedback and you're responsible and thus empowered, then you're doing great. In part four, we're going to learn how we can build on this momentum and avoid struggling spiritually. But before that, let's explore why it is that manifesting and the law of attraction might actually be spiritually counterproductive. Many years ago, when I first read books on the law of attraction and started to listen to talks, interviews, and videos by the main promoters and authors of that movement, like many people, I was totally hooked into it. I practiced what they taught about aligning emotionally and energetically with your desires and had some pretty interesting results, attracting people and events into my life. These successes felt empowering and made me want to do more. But it also felt a little bit wrong. However, it was only years later, once I started to discover more about beings on higher dimensions and the bigger picture of what was actually happening, that my intuition that it was wrong made sense and alarm bells truly rang. If you're not familiar with the law of attraction work, it's about deliberately manifesting things or situations in your life and has been brought to the awareness of people on the physical plane by a collective on higher dimensions who are known as Abraham. The primary person on the third dimension who communicates with Abraham is a lady called Esther, and she truly believes what they have taught her. This information is all accurate, and I've been able to confirm this firsthand on the inside on those higher dimensions. It is through the now famous teachings of Abraham that many tens of thousands of people across the world are being guided to practice the art of manifestation, the law of attraction, and what the hit movie The Secret was based upon. It all sounds very positive and people are genuinely transforming their lives, bringing in wealth, attracting partners, creating opportunities, etc. Now, Abraham described themselves in their own words as
a group consciousness from the non-physical dimension.
And have also said,
we are that which is at the heart of all religions.
So that's them basically saying they are divine, since all religions are supposedly in pursuit of the divine, God. This notion that they are godly is further suggested by their claim that, again in their own words,
whenever we,
meaning humanity,
feel moments of great love, exhilaration, pure joy, stoned out bliss, even the energy of sexual orgasm when we feel that energy flow rushing through our bodies, that is the energy of Source, and that is who Abraham is.
So they are claiming to be the energy behind all that is good, and that they are the source, another way of saying they are God. Esther also describes them as infinite intelligence, and again, this is a suggestion that they are God, since the only thing that is beyond limits, and hence infinite, is God. And yet they are a collective, meaning they are made of many, not one, and are located on a higher dimension, meaning they are still within duality. The state of enlightenment, however, is beyond all limits, and thus simultaneously transcends and contains all dimensions. And so it is possible from within that higher state to inquire into the nature of anything within creation. Such an inquiry reveals that this collective is simply a group of non-human beings, and they are not aligned with God. They don't have light within them, and they are not spiritual guides. I've previously touched on the topic of groups on higher dimensions who are interested in influencing affairs on Earth in my documentary on Stonehenge. And if you're interested, there are links below. But the important thing here is to recall how I explained earlier that sometimes it's not how people act or appear that matters, rather what's in their hearts. Well, this collective are doing a wonderful job of appearing good and benevolent, partly by targeting and working through genuinely good people down here, but they neither have light nor love in their hearts, and their real goal is quite sinister, even if their message appears positive. Let me provide context for what I'm saying, as I'm sure this may be challenging for a lot of people to hear, especially if they've invested their time, energy, money, and beliefs into the law of attraction movement. God is limitless, beyond form, beyond time, eternal, the absolute creator, and the one who guides every human via the human spirit. There is nothing greater. Therefore, God, who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and all-knowing, knows what is best for you and what you need. And because God loves you unconditionally, God is always seeking to guide you to your greatest good. You're always guided by God to what you need. But free will means you don't always follow. Life is about you learning through experience and to eventually awaken spiritually and to seek God, the highest purpose of human life, growing in goodness and becoming closer to God. The law of attraction, however, means we decide what we want to manifest or attract in life rather than being guided by God. And so we must contemplate, where does knowing what we should desire come from? It doesn't come from God or God's guidance. It doesn't come from our higher self either. Rather, it comes from our lower self and is rooted in self-criticism and self-judgment of the life we are living. When our lower self desires change, it is us saying, I have judged my life and I do not like the way it is. I want a partner. I want wealth. I want a better career. I. It means three things. Firstly, that there is a lack of acceptance, tolerance, or gratitude of the present. Secondly, there is no trust in God. And thirdly, no personal responsibility or appreciation of the fact that where you are is because of the choices you've already made. You're basically saying, God has got it wrong, and so I need to fix my creation. For example, if you don't have a partner, perhaps it's because you're not meant to at this time. Or if you are meant to, then you've been ignoring your higher self who is trying to guide you to the right person who would help you to grow spiritually and whom God has already lined up for you to meet. If only you would follow their guidance you're already being given. But the law of attraction means that you decide what is best for you and when it should happen, based on your lower self's desires. You then try and manifest it through emotional and energetic congruency to your desire. There's no space in that mindset for God's guidance, because you can't be saying, I know what I need, and at the same time saying, I want to be receptive to God and my higher self's guidance. The law of attraction and active manifesting is all about desire and the power of self, which ultimately starts and ends with ego. It is my will be done rather than God's will be done. The claims of Abraham to be some sort of divine energy, the source or infinite, means that it appeals to people who are spiritually seeking. This is deliberate because Abraham's goal, though they won't admit it to people on the third dimension,
is to distract genuine spiritual people away from God by taking their spiritual curiosity and redirecting that enthusiasm into seeking personal power, material or emotional gain.
Abraham's teachings direct your upward seeking attention back down into the manifest world around you. After all, the more you invest time and willpower to shape your own life through the law of attraction, satisfying your desires, then the more attracted and emotionally tethered you are going to be to your life and its trappings. The law of attraction, manifesting, the secret, whatever you call it, is actually the antithesis of spirituality, Since real spirituality raises you above worldly desires, relinquishing the egocentric illusion of being in control to real higher guidance, which ultimately comes from God. Abraham are not spiritual. They are materialistic, hedonistic, and dark, and that is their real message. But like all who deceive good people, they use elements of truth and good words to hide their deception and real intent. The law of attraction is fundamentally real and can be explained simply as you manifest what you give your attention to. But in the case of Abraham's teachings, the manifestation works partly through the power of your own intention, but also because the Abraham collective work on higher dimensions to bring about what you desire on your behalf so that you buy even more into their agenda. Since God has given you free will, then God remains neutral and allows you to go in that dark direction and imprison yourself within the manifestation of your own worldly desires. Abraham knows this all too well, and so they encourage humans to focus on what their lower selves want instead of being humble and receptive to what God wants. It replaces trust in what is truly divine with trust in self, or worse, trust in Abraham. And you are encouraged to become your own creator and thus turn your back on the one real creator, God. Like so much deception, it is sold on positive gains and half-truths. I don't say this lightly. I say this as someone who has encountered the collective Abraham and their superiors many times on higher dimensions, including when they have gone by other names. All that glitters certainly is not gold. Of course, those people who enjoy the teachings of Abraham or who channel and share them with others are oblivious to this higher truth, since they themselves have been misdirected away from true spirituality and now have their role as practitioners or agents of Abraham cemented into their personal lower self identity. It would be hard for them to accept the truth, and I don't have any wish to convince them or anyone that what I say is true either. Truth stands firm on its own and it doesn't need defending. Rather, truth speaks to those who value it when they are ready for it. Those who do not value truth will not recognize it, and it is a fool who tries to force the truth on another, because what you know from personal insight is what you know, but trying to force someone else to know it is lowering yourself into the world of beliefs. It is wise to remember that everyone who has chosen to follow Abraham has done so of their own free will. I was at that crossroads once, just like many other people, and like others I know, we explored it and then realized it was small and a spiritual dead end, and so left it behind to carry on pushing for the truth. Since God respects free will, then so should we. As with all I share in my podcasts, maybe it will resonate with people who are ready, speaking to their higher self, even if their lower self is distracted. And if not, well, God still loves each and every human, and guidance, feedback, and opportunities for spiritual growth will always come to those who are awake. Which brings us on to part four, and the reason why so many people are not very awake. Coming up in part four, that way we can avoid unnecessary disease. So let me share a really important insight with you, which is something that most people simply do not realize fully. But if, for whatever reason, you have been ignoring your higher self and ultimately God, then two things happen.